Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Going back in history, can you imagine the following introductions? We would like to meet you to meet our son Benedict. Benedict Arnold, you know, he's the one who turned traitor and betrayed our country. Or this one. This is our son, John Wilkes Booth. You'll recall that he assassinated President Lincoln. Or how about this one? Do you remember our son? His name is Robert DeSalvo, but you probably recall him as the Boston Strangler. I can't imagine any of those parents proudly standing up and saying, "This is my son, and here's what he did." From the first moment that we learn we are expecting a child, we start to have hopes and dreams, don't we? We wonder, what will they be like? What will they accomplish? Unlike the parents we just mentioned, we all hope that at any point in life we can point to our son or our daughter and say, "This is my beloved son. This is my beloved child. I'm so so proud of them." But if you are a parent of a child, you know there also will be disappointments. Our children do not always live up to the expectations that we have for them. A dad may place a tiny basketball or little catcher's mitt in the crib of a child, but that doesn't mean they'll grow up to love sports. Parents who pray nightly for their teenagers, asking God to watch over, protect, and guide them, may still end up getting a call that says, "Your son or your daughter is in trouble." Our Advent series is called, "This Is My Son." And the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at father-son relationships from the Old Testament. These stories are going to explore the hopes and expectations of those fathers, but they're going to highlight the disappointment that these parents had when each father had to face the fact that their son was not living up to those expectations. Ultimately, though, we'll end each of the three sermons with the great good news that there was one father-son relationship that wiped out all the problems. God the Father and God the Son, Jesus Christ, have a perfect relationship. And God the Father said of Jesus, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Tonight we begin our series with one of the most disappointing, if not the most disappointing of all time, sons. We're going to talk about Cain. Adam and Eve had high hopes for Cain when he was born. This was evident by what Eve said when she got him as a child. The translation we read tonight says, "I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord." However, some translations, and the one that Martin Luther liked to use, said, "I have gotten the man of the Lord." Martin Luther thought that Eve thought when Cain was born, this is the Messiah, this is the Savior that was promised in Genesis 3:15. Where it said that one would come who would crush Satan's head. Martin Luther puts himself in Eve's head and imagines her saying, "I remember what it was like in the garden. I remember how perfect it was. I remember the pain when we were put out of the garden. And now I have gotten the man of God who's going to make it all better again." Adam and Eve had high expectations for Cain. Apparently not so much for Abel when he was born. He doesn't get the kind of greeting or the kind of words spoken about him that Eve had for Cain. She called him Abel, which means vanity or something could be easily cast aside. It may have been the expectations put on Cain that brought his downfall, the selfish pride that he reveals as the story goes on. But it's more likely that his pride, his selfish pride, was just an extension of the fall into sin. He was born as a sinful human being. Since the fall of Adam and Eve, all of mankind inherits a sinful human nature. But in the story, Abel is the good one, isn't he? Abel makes an offering and the Lord is well pleased and speaks of it. But Cain's offering is rejected because he apparently gave grudgingly and didn't give with the right attitude. So then envy and anger filled Cain, and he rose up and killed his brother. Can you imagine the pain of Adam and Eve when they hear not only that their son Abel is dead, but that Cain was the one who killed him? The son they thought was going to be a Messiah, a Savior, turned out to be the first murderer. They had to come to grips with the fact that their original sin had been passed on to Cain and would be passed on to their grandchildren and down through generation and generation until even you and I inherit this at our birth. Romans 5:19 says, but the one man's disobedience, by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. We are all sons of Adam and have inherited our sinful human nature. As you know, my last name is Stenbeck. That's a Swedish version of the same name in German, which is Steinbeck, and probably more familiar to a lot of people. Both of them mean the same thing, a stony brook or a stony creek. In some places where we lived, it was hard to get people to say Stenbeck because they were used to a Steinbeck. My brother got it a lot more than I do. My brother's name is John, and so he would get the question, oh, are you related to the author, John Steinbeck? And of course, we aren't. One of John Steinbeck's many novels, the man who wrote Grapes of Wrath and Cannery Row and many others, one of them that he wrote is based on our text for tonight. It comes from verse 16 where it says, then Cain went away from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. The novel and later the movie East of Eden comes from this story. It's a modern day telling of the story of Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel. In the book, the father, whose name is Adam, has twin sons, Caleb and Aaron. And one the father considers good and the other not so good. He favors Aaron over Caleb. Caleb tries all kinds of ways to please his father and show him that he is worthy of his love, but he doesn't seem to be able to do it. The father is a Bible-quoting hard man, very strict, difficult to live with. And what we don't know at first is the father is hiding a secret. The father's secret is that the mother isn't really dead, as he said, but that she couldn't stand him and ran away from him when the boys were born. She left because he demanded so much and was so hard on her. What complicates the story is that she moved to a town nearby and started a house of prostitution. There are some powerful twists and turns in this story, but in the end, Steinbeck seems to be saying everybody is flawed, and if you look at the characters, you find that is true. Everyone is flawed, and everyone needs love and care and compassion, and none of them can cope on their own. Well, it'll be no surprise for me to tell you that at times all of us live east of Eden. We are fallen and sinful people. We openly confess that every Sunday, don't we? I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities. On our own, we know we would be lost and condemned. When it comes to keeping God's commandments, we all, as children of God, are a disappointment. Now, there's many ways I could remind you of our sin, but I'm going to read from Galatians chapter 5. And so just see if any of these apply to you. I thought about having you raise your hand when one hits you, but I don't think we'll do that. Here we go. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now if you can wipe your brow and go, none of those hit me, I congratulate you. But you probably were like me, like halfway through or not even that far. You said, you can stop now, Pastor. You already got me. As children of God, we have fallen short of the expectations. Well, Adam and Eve were wrong thinking that Cain was going to be the Messiah, but God didn't give up on them. Just because Adam and Eve sinned, just because Cain fell into sin, God didn't change his plan of salvation. His plan was still intact. It would be a son of Adam who ultimately would come to be the Messiah, but a very distant son. Jesus Christ was born into the world to be the Lord and Savior of all. He came to pay the price of sin once for all time. He faced the jealousy and anger of sinful human beings. Because he lived a perfect life, the Pharisees didn't like him and wanted to put him down, and ultimately they put him on the cross. This coming Sunday, we're going to talk about John the Baptist, about John coming to prepare the way for the Lord. And what was John's the Baptist's message? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. As we go through Advent, as we try to take some time to prepare our hearts and minds to welcome the Christ child, we need to be about the business of repenting. I have been a pastor for 46 plus years. Before I was a pastor, I lived in the parsonage with a pastor. Through the years, I've known a great many pastors who've become friends and colleagues. It will be no secret for me to tell you that most pastors, if not all of them, have felt like sometimes they have been east of Eden. They know their ordination vows, their installation vows, that they promise to love and serve and be a shepherd. They know they are to be an example to the flock. They have high expectations of themselves, but they join the Apostle Paul who said, the good that I would, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, that's what I end up doing. How do pastors go on? How do they dare walk up into the pulpit to preach and teach when they know they have fallen short of the glory God would have for them? When they know they are sinful? The secret is we listen to our own sermons and we read the Word of God and we listen to the words surrounding the catechism about the sacraments. We read words like, baptism doth now save you. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Take and eat. This is the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all your sins. Your sins are forgiven, now go and sin no more. Adam and Eve blew it in the garden. Cain blew it when he got angry and murdered his brother. The children of Israel in the Old Testament blew it over and over and over again. Peter denied that he knew Jesus. Paul called himself chief of sinners. You and I have blown it far too often in life. And yet the blood of Jesus Christ forgives all who believe. If you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you believe he is the Lord and Savior of the world, if you can simply say, Jesus loves me, this I know, then your sins are forgiven and forgotten. So as we move through Advent, let us spend some time thinking about God's love, remembering the three comings of Advent. We say he has come. Jesus Christ did indeed come into the world to be our Lord and Savior. He continues to come. He wants to come and be with you each and every day of your life. And he will come again. Whether it's the end of our own personal life or the end of the world, he will come and take us to heaven and the glory that will be ours forever. Through faith in Jesus Christ, God is looking down at you tonight. Looking at you at this very moment. And what is God the Father saying through your faith in Jesus Christ? This is my daughter. This is my son, in whom I am well pleased. May that great good news ring in your heart throughout this Advent season. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which does indeed surpass our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds through Jesus Christ. Amen.